All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is, of course, Bloodlines on Eurofolk Radio. Today is December 16th, 2018, and we're going to continue our series on Josephus and the story of Herod and how Herod and the Edomites took control of the house of Judah, the land of Judah, and created what is today known as the land of Judea. Judea, which was a multicultural state created by mixing two enemy nations, namely the House of Judah and the House of Edom. And anybody who knows anything about Edom knows that the Edomites were, and still are today, the worst enemies of Israel. So how can a country composed of Edomite infiltrators and Judahites, pure-blooded Judahites, be considered the same people as before the merger? How? Explain that to me, Pastor Steve.
Well, now, I'm an American. You're an American. That is just a national designator.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with racial designation, although it should.
It should, yes.
Okay, same deal with Judea. They had all kinds of people there, but it was supposed to be the land of the tribe of Yehuda. But they had all these mixed multitudes in there that were planted there.
Right? Hmm. Oh, that's happening today, aren't they?
Well, gee. Say it ain't so. Oh, my.
Yep, unfortunately. Yep.
Man.
Yeah.
So it's the same deal here. I want to say something to the listening audience, because that a lot of people listen to this show. I only have a few more shows to do for word. Then I will be done, all the way from Genesis, all the way through Revelations.
Very good.
The shows will air, the final shows will go on air next month. I'm recording ahead now. When I am done with all the shows and have them in the can, I'm going to buy bulk zip drives, and I'm going to do a bunch of transfers. And I will make available on my website all the word-for-word shows from start to finish in their completeness. And it'll be on that zip drive, sort of like what David James is doing. I thought that was an excellent idea, but I had that planned anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get my book shipped over to Europe because the cost is prohibitive.
Right.
I don't have a European printing facility, but I could ship a zip drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's the reason I'm going to do that. I have been asked by many people, can you make these available so I can just play them anytime? Yes, I can, and I will. Just
all right.
Please be patient. Let me get all of this done. I have a few left to go, and then I will be done, and then I'll start. And I've got a couple of zip drives here that I'm, you know,
yeah,
I'm going to make, but I'm going to send them out. So these are archived in other people's computers in case anything would happen to me.
Sure.
Okay. We know how fragile this world is.
Mm-hmm.
We know how targeted we are.
Amen.
If they decide to kick my door in and give me a ventilation process with one of their little automatic rifles,
mm-hmm.
I'll be gone, but the stuff will be available elsewhere.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Well, there won't be a repeat of what happened with TalkShoe, where the archives were taken from us, and
right.
And I only had some. I didn't have all of them, and other people saved some. And this person saved that one, and you know, it was just hodgepodge. So here, yeah, we're saving as of With the beginning of Eurofolk Radio, we have multiple locations where all our shows are saved, and so that won't happen again.
Okay. I mean, I've got them on several computers. I have removable drives. I have all my stuff. I have years and years and years of work in this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take a chance on having them lost.
Right.
We know what the enemy wants to do, but not going to happen.
No, we're ready for him this time.
Well, right. We've learned once burned, twice learned, right?
Okay, right. Okay. There you go. Right.
Right. You want to open Josephus, or you want me to do it? Which would you like?
Well, we're at Antiquities.
Verse 3, all right.
Book 14, chapter 10, paragraph 3. These are arranged in paragraphs, and some of these paragraphs are a book in themselves, right? Let me take 3 and 4, because both of these are short. And then, actually, I'll take 3, 4, and 5, and you take 6. 6 is very long. Okay, so here we go. Paragraph 3, and by way of recap, okay, we see that Hyrcanus and Herod have become partners thanks to Antipater and Antipater's shenanigans and machinations with Rome, and making Herod the governor of Galilee, and basically pushing Hyrcanus into the background. Okay? So, and this is how typically the Jews will take over one of our countries, by taking control from behind the scenes. You have a figurehead, and that's exactly what the Sanhedrin, the real Sanhedrin of Judah, said to Hyrcanus. You're just a figurehead. You're not doing anything. The government is being run by Herod. Okay? So what did Herod do? He murdered all of the Judahite Sanhedrin and then replaced them with his cronies. So this is where we're at.
Surely not.
Yeah, no,
surely
no Jew did anything that horrible, right?
The Edomites wouldn't do that, would
right?
they?
No. Okay, so this is where it stands when we pick it up. The decrees of Caius Caesar Council containing what hath been granted and determined are as follows. Quote, that Hyrcanus and his children bear rule over the nation of the, well, now it's Judeans, because it's a multicultural state. We can't call it Judah anymore. The nation of the Judeans, and have the prophets of the places to them bequeathed. And that he, as himself the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans, defend those that are injured. And rightfully, lawfully, according to Torah, he could never be king over Edomites, but this is what the situation is. And even if he is the rightful high priest, I doubt, but this is the situation, and Caius Caesar is basically telling the world by making this pronouncement, this is how it stands, people, okay? So as he, as himself the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans, defend those that are injured, and that ambassadors be sent to Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, the high priest of the Judeans, that may discourse him about a league of friendship and mutual assistance. Now, and as a matter of fact, he can only be high priest of Judah. He can't be high priest of the Edomites. So therefore, he is high priest of Judah and none other. But that is becoming less and less meaningful. And that a table of brass containing the premises be openly proposed in the capital, and at Sidon, and Tyre, and Ascalon, and in the temple, engraven in Roman and Greek letters, that this decree may also be communicated to the questors, Q-U-A-E-S-T-R-O-R-s, questors, and praetors of the several cities, and to the friends of the Judeans, and that the ambassadors may have presents made them, and that these decrees be sent everywhere. Okay, so basically what Caius Caesar is doing, he's announcing Roman control over Judea, right, in very polite
right.
terms. Okay, all right, paragraph 4. Caius Caesar, imperator, dictator, consul, hath granted that out of regard to the honor and virtue and kindness of the man, and for the advantage of the Senate and of the people of Rome, Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, both he and his children be high priests and priests of Jerusalem and of the Judean nation by the same right and according to the same laws by which their progenitors have held the priesthood. Okay, well, that's not going to be true because we see that the priesthood is now going to be a non-Judahite bloodline. We're going to discover that shortly. Paragraph 5, Caius Caesar, consul the fifth time, hath decreed that the Judeans shall possess Jerusalem and may encompass that city with walls, and that Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans, retain it in the manner he himself pleases, and the Judeans be allowed to deduct out of their tribute every second year the land is let in the sabbatic period, a course of that tribute, and that the tribute may be not let to farm, nor that they pay always the same tribute. So it looks like he's making a concession for letting the land lie fallow. Very interesting. Roman... go ahead.
I have a comment. Okay. They were not Judean priests. They were Levitical priests.
Okay.
And he killed all of the line of Aharon. And he replaced them with the Edomites.
Yes.
The Judeans were never priests. They were Aharonic priests. Well, he wiped out that bloodline.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, so there is no legitimate Judahite priesthood. You know, there might still be Levites, but there's no legitimate high priest for sure, and there's no legitimate Sanhedrin.
Well, that priesthood was taken over and replaced with the priesthood by an oath of the order of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, and Yeshua Messiah is high priest of that order. And he says to his remnant, that's what Yahweh says to us, you will be kings and priests. He has established a new priesthood in his remnant. And that's the deal. That's what's going on currently. And you see all these people doing priestly office.
Yes.
And they're doing it in the order of Melchizedek, priesthood by an oath, which means you want to be. You're not just by bloodline. It's not inherited, it's somebody that actually wants to serve, and it's a much superior priesthood because the people are actually wanting to do the office, and that's what we've got now, and they call us preachers.
Right. But you have to be an Israelite, so there is a bloodline
element
there is.
Okay. All of this is about Israel only.
Right.
None of the law ever applied to any of the non-Israelites.
Amen. So now, but we have the situation.
That's just a given.
That's
right.
The situation we have here, though, is that non-Israelites are now going to be chosen for high priest. The Levites are going to die out.
And they have polluted and perverted that order.
Yes.
Okay. That's another one of those progressive inversions I just did on my wake-up call or my wake-up call show. They turned that upside down. Evil into good.
Yeah, they're progressives.
Okay. Well, that's the whole deal.
Right. Yeah.
This is section 6 here.
Yeah. Oh, let me just make a quick point here about the Roman tribute. The Roman tribute was actually, you know, compared to other nations, was actually, you know, how should I say, modestly imperialistic, right? You know, the Assyrians would just come and slaughter everybody and take what they have and enslave them, right? But the Romans had a policy of minimal tribute just to make sure that their expenses, operating expenses, are met, and plus a little profit for the emperor and his and the Senate, etc., etc.
And
But they,
also accomplished that you knew who was the top of the pecking
oh
order.
yeah, oh yeah. And but they would allow the to a certain extent, actually to a great extent, the indigenous people to maintain their own religion and traditions. In other words, you pay your rent, you get to live as you please, okay, under these conditions, but you better pay your rent. If you don't pay your rent, bad things will happen. Back to you.
There you go. Well, let's
Okay.
get into section six here. Caius Caesar, Imperator the second time, has ordained that all the country of the Judeans, excepting Joppa, because they have a J here, Joppa, well, it's Joppa. There is no J in Hebrew, it's Joppa,
Right.
a Y. Do pay a tribute yearly for the city Jerusalem, excepting the seventh, which they call the sabbatical year, because thereon they neither receive the fruits of their trees, nor do they sow their land. And they that pay their tribute in Zidon on the second year of that sabbatical period, the fourth part of what was sown. And beside this, they are to pay the same tithes to Hyrcanus and his sons, which they paid to their forefathers.
Okay, so
Okay.
Sidon is being lumped into this, what do you call it, artificial state that's being
Well,
created.
it's just a big conglomerate area. They couldn't have all these little city states. So they just made one big glop,
Right.
okay? Okay, continuing on. And that no one, neither president, nor lieutenant, nor ambassador, raise reinforcements within the bounds of Judea, nor may soldiers exact money of them for winter quarters, or under any other
Oh,
pretense.
it's almost like the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, but that
Right.
they be free from all sorts of injuries.
Okay. King
Okay.
George. All right. Okay. But even King George
And
didn't grant that.
that whatever they shall hereafter have and are in possession of or have bought, they shall retain them all. Property rights.
Right.
Okay, whoa, we could do with some of that today.
Yeah, we could.
It is also our pleasure that the city Joppa, which the Judeans had originally, when they made a league of friendship with the Romans, shall belong to them as it formerly did. And that Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, and his sons have as tribute of that city from those that occupy the land for the country and for what they export every year to Sidon, 20,675 modii, whatever that is, every year, the seventh year, which they call the sabbatic year, accepted.
This is very generous, accepting the sabbatical year. That's
Right.
tremendous. Yeah.
Well, they wanted to keep peace in the land.
There you go.
War
Yeah.
cost money, and they were in it for a profit. This was a profit-making corporation, the
That's
Roman
right.
Empire.
There you go. Yep.
Okay?
That's what it is.
Whereupon they neither plow nor receive the product of their trees. It is also the pleasure of the Senate that as to the villages which are in the great plain, which Hyrcanus and his forefathers formerly possessed, Hyrcanus and the Judeans have them with the same privileges with which they formerly had them also, and that the same original ordinances remain still in force which concern the Judeans with regard to their high priests, and that they enjoy the same benefits which they have had formerly by the concession of the people and of the Senate, and let them enjoy the like privileges in Lydda.
Okay.
It is the pleasure also of the Senate that Hyrcanus, the ethnarch, and the Judeans retain those places, countries, and villages which belonged to the kings of Syria and Phoenicia, the allies of the Romans, and which they had bestowed on them as their free gifts. Boy, I bet those gifts were free.
Yeah, right.
Gee, we would like you to give us these.
Okay. Modi.
So you don't accidentally fall on a spear or something.
Right. Modius is a dry measure containing about a peck. All right, what's a peck? A bushel, half a bushel. What's a peck? I forgot. All right, but of course, a lot of this is empty rhetoric. The promise to maintain the integrity of the high priesthood has already been violated, because the Romans overruled the priests, the Sanhedrin, in favor of Herod. They already violated that. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a stacked deck, like it is today in our court systems.
That's right. Yeah, they talk peace and make
you're
war.
You're toast before you even go in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to stay out of court. You don't want to go to court. Yeah. The Jews control it entirely. Right. Back to you.
All right, next sentence. It is also granted to Hyrcanus and to his sons and to the ambassadors by them sent to us that in the fights between single gladiators and in those with beasts, this is Colosseum stuff.
Right. Okay. The Negro Felon League.
They shall sit among the senators to see those shows. Well, they built miniature Colosseums. Yeah. That was the entertainment.
Okay.
That was the television, the violent television of the day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Well, what he's saying here is the officials of the province, I guess now it's a province of Rome, you're to attend these things because these are not just games, but these are affairs of state, and your presence is required, so you better show up. Back to you.
There you go. Mm-hmm. They shall sit among the senators to see those shows, and that when they desire an audience, they shall be introduced into the Senate by the dictator or by the general of the horse. That's the cavalry.
Cavalry, okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when they have introduced them, their answers shall be returned them in 10 days at the furthest, after the decree of the Senate is made about their affairs.
Okay, today the waiting period is about 10 years. You make an inquiry of the government. Okay, time to wait. Back to you.
Oh, well, that's like the FOIA. We'll get around to it.
Yeah. Okay, let's alternate now. The rest of these are pretty short. Okay, so I'll take seven.
Okay,
I'll go odd, you go even. All right, Caius Caesar, imperator, dictator, the fourth time. He keeps on changing the number of times he's been dictator. I don't know why. And council the fifth time, declared to be perpetual dictator, made this speech concerning the rights and privileges of Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans. Since those imperators that have been in the provinces before me have been borne witness to Hyrcanus, the high priest of the Judeans, and to the Judeans themselves, and this before the Senate and the people of Rome, when the people and the Senate returned their thanks to them, it is good that we now also remember the same and provide that a requital be made to the sons of Hyrcanus by the Senate and people of Rome, and that suitably to what goodwill they have shown us and to the benefits they have bestowed upon us. So in other words, you gave us something, we'll give you something back, but there will be strings attached.
You missed a line.
Okay, go ahead. Which one was?
Okay, we now also remember the same and provide that a requital be made to Hyrcanus, to the nation of the Judeans, and to the sons of Hyrcanus by the Senate and the people of Rome, and that suitably to what goodwill they have shown us and to the benefits they have bestowed upon us.
Okay, so you have a public display of exchanges of gifts, platitudes, pronouncements.
Warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. Really,
here we are. Here we are, Judea. Yes. We're the Romans.
There we are. Yeah, we're the Romans.
The Romans are back in town. Okay, back to you.
Section 8. Oh, my. Section 8. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Section 8 housing, no doubt.
Right. Julius Caius, praetor consul of Rome, to the magistrates, senate, and people of the Parian sends greetings. The Judeans of Delos and some other Judeans that sojourn there, in the presence of your ambassadors, signified to us that by a decree of yours you forbid them to make use of the customs of their forefathers and their ways of sacred worship. Now, it does not please me that such decrees should be made against our friends and allies, whereby they are forbidden to live according to their own customs.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it was going to stir up trouble, and it didn't want trouble. They were making good money off the deal.
Right.
Don't rock the boat, okay? Or to bring in contributions for common suppers and holy festivals. While they are not forbidden so to do even at Rome itself. For even Caius Caesar, our imperator and consul, in that decree wherein he forbade the Bacchanal rioters to meet in the city.
Okay, so this is about rioting. Okay.
The Bacchanalians.
Saturnalia.
Everybody got puking drunk and just tore everything up.
Right.
Sort of like what's going on over in France right about now.
Oh, no, more like spring break in Miami.
The thing in New Orleans,
right? Know, oh yeah,
Mardi
Gras. Mardi Gras.
Well, that's insane.
Oh, it's crazy.
They have no law during Mardi Gras.
Really?
None.
Wow.
They all
I didn't know that.
Stand back, and when as soon as 1 minute after Mardi Gras ends, they move in and just beat the fire out of everybody and run everybody off the streets. No, I'm serious. I'm not making a joke.
Wow. Wow.
That's how they do it. 1 minute after, they run everybody out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that sounds like that sounds like Saturnalia to me. Right? Okay, party's over.
Bade the Bacchanal rioters to meet in the city, did yet permit these Judeans, and these only, both to bring in their contributions and to make their common suppers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They were peaceful.
So there are Yeah, now the Judahites, and that's what we're talking about here, is Judahites. They were peaceful and law-abiding and did not create a ruckus like the other people did. So that's why they made this exception.
Well,
okay.
They were doing religious feasts. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
They were
the Romans were fine with that.
Tabernacles and Passover, you know. Accordingly, when I forbid other Bacchanal rioters, I permit these Judeans to gather themselves together according to the customs and laws of their forefathers and to persist therein.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, therefore, good for you that if you have made any decree against these our friends and allies to abrogate the same, by reason of their virtue and kind disposition towards us.
Okay,
that
now,
ends
okay.
Section 8.
Right, now, this is an indication, again, we almost must always keep a distinction in mind between Judahites and Edomite Jews. Okay, the Edomite Jews are Johnny-come-latelys pretending to obey Torah, but in fact are imposters who do whatever they please while pretending to obey Torah, okay? So these types of Jews, these Edomite Jews, hadn't run amok in the Middle East up at this point yet, because this is when the impersonation is just beginning, okay?
Yes.
Now, so we make a distinction between these Judahites who just basically want to be left alone and obey Torah versus the Edomite Jews who are running around as moneylenders, advisors to kings and queens, deal makers, etc., etc., etc.
They had just supplanted the Levitical priesthood by murder.
Right, yeah. This is the very beginning of the impersonation.
And they were getting their foothold.
Yes, foothold time, yeah.
And they didn't want to push the envelope at that time until they were very secure in their position.
Yeah. So,
well, we see today, because all these people are waking up, that they are pushing the envelope and exposing mm-hmm. themselves
right.
in their arrogance. They are so arrogant.
Yes.
And they think they have the power to do anything that they want, and they're going to find out in short order mm-hmm. that they do not.
Now, it's interesting also that the Talmud was actually being written, and the oral tradition was already extant in Babylon, in Pergamos, and other centers of Talmudic learning, okay? But well, this had not yet come to Judea. That's not going to come, that's going to come in gradually. But they're getting their foothold here.
So, well, they had written the original Talmud, and then they modified it, and they modified it again. It has been modified, and it's still being modified today.
Yes.
It changes.
Yeah, it's never the same.
A fluid document, and they get some new rabbi that they consider a prophet. And he's learned, and he does this, and he does that, and he's like these Lubavitchers. Now they're saying that Schneerson was the Messiah. I mean, they're just they push it to the max, okay? And then they try to force it down our throats.
Yes. Now, you see that the Romans were tolerant of these true Judahites who just wanted to obey their law. However,
yes,
at the same time,
they were no trouble. They were no trouble.
At the same time, you have these Edomite Jews claiming to represent these people. And these are the instigators, troublemakers, moneylenders, et cetera, that are going to cause more and more trouble for Rome. So you always have to make the distinction between Edomite Jews and pure-blooded Judahites. You can see right here the distinction is made very clear.
Well,
Caius Caesar.
Gotta remember that these Jews were always getting in people's pockets, and
that's
they got
right.
in the pockets mm-hmm. of the Romans, and that's why they were so disliked. That's why they're
that's
disliked
right.
everywhere, because they're thieves. Now, you want to do section 9 here?
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right. Fire
Very
away.
Good. Now, after Caius was slain, when Marcus Antonius, this is like history, what's Cliff's Notes? One name after another, no introduction. Now, why was Caius slain? We'd have to go to history books to find out. When Marcus Antonius and Publius Dolabella were consuls, they both assembled the Senate and introduced Hyrcanus' ambassadors into it and discoursed of what they desired and made a league of friendship with them. The Senate also decreed to grant them all they desired. I add the decree itself, that those who read the present work may have ready by them a demonstration of the truth of what we say. A decree was this. Now, before you read paragraph 10, my comment here is this. The people assembled by Hyrcanus would have been Antipater and his Edomite advisors, for the most part, okay, because they're the ones, they have already taken control of politics in the land of Judea, and they ruled over Judah, okay, so this is what, you have to be able to understand, the vast majority of these people are not Judahites, they're Edomite Jews. Back to you.
They were the snakes that were slipping in to suck the Romans in
right.
and gain control.
Yes, just like Chucky Schumer.
Which they did.
Yes.
They did
Chucky.
That. They did. Yeah. They engineered the destruction of the Roman Empire, too.
That's right. They did. All right?
You know.
So what happened to Hyrcanus happened to the Caesars.
Well, hey, what goes around comes around.
Right, yeah, it's kind of an infestation.
People don't learn by history because they won't study it. So if you won't study history, you are condemned to repeat it. And that is what we are seeing today.
Yeah. I think Brother Amer, you mean Feinstein, not Weinstein. But there's probably a Weinstein politician.
Well,
Swinestein.
Drinking wine, and it's just so fine and whatever.
Yeah.
Greatest president. That wall is immoral.
Yeah. And this was why the Jews have a tradition of staying sober. So that they can, you know, you have to be sober to control the finances.
No. No, they don't.
No?
They get blasted. Oh, boy. Do they get,
but their accountants stay sober.
You think they're obnoxious when they're
sober. Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, they get vicious. So...
Okay.
I know better than that.
Right. We should.
Verse 10, I'll take this, or section 10, rather. Mm-hmm. The decree of the Senate, copied out of the treasury from the public tables belonging to the quaestors, when Quintus Rutilus and Caius Cornelius were quaestors, and taken out of the second table of the first class on the third day before the Ides of April, in the Temple of Concord.
Okay. And, that's grapes.
Not talked about grapes. We're thinking along the same lines.
The God of the Concord grapes.
Absolutely. Weinstein.
Right. Yeah. Weinstein. There you go.
Yeah. A stein full of wine. There were present at the... Oh, no. There
Too
were
much
present
fun.
At the... at the Oh, stop! there were present at the writing of this decree Lucius Calpurnius Piso of the Menenian tribe, Servius Papinius Potitus of the Lamonian tribe, Caius Caninus Rabilis of the Tarentine tribe.
Okay. All right, there's about 30 tribes here.
Okay. Publius Tadetius, Lucius Apollinus, the son of Lucius of the Sergian tribe. Flavius, the son of Lucius of the Lamonian tribe. Publius Plautus, the son of Publius of the Papirian tribe. Marcus Asilus, the son of Marcus of the Messian tribe. Lucius Arusius, the son of Lucius of the Stellatine tribe. Marcus Quintus Plancillus, the son of Marcus of the Polian tribe. And Publius Serius.
Okay.
The next
now,
section.
It's interesting to Flavius because Josephus took the name Flavius. Now, I wonder if that's his given name because he was a Hebrew. That might not be his given name. He may have adopted that name because he had become a Roman citizen.
Okay. No, he was the founder of Howard Johnson's.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but all the Flaviuses that they had.
Oh, I see.
Publius Dolabella and Marcus Antoninus. Or Antonius, not Antoninus, Antonius, the consuls, made this reference to the Senate, that is, to those things which, by the decree of the Senate, Caius Caesar had adjudged about the Judeans, and yet had not as yet that decree been brought into the treasury, it is our will. As it is also the desire of Publius Dolabella and Marcus Antonius, our consuls, to have these decrees put into the public tables, in other words, write them down, etch them in stone, and brought to the city quaestors, that they may take care to have them put upon the double tables. In other words, they were going to put "Don't rock the boat" in writing.
Right.
This was done before the 5th of the Ides of February in the Temple of Concord. Now the ambassadors from Hyrcanus the high priest were these. Lysimachus, the son of Pausanias, Alexander, the son of Theodorus, Patroclus, the son of Careus, and Jonathan, the son of Onias.
Okay, so at least Jonathan is a pure-blooded Judahite. Okay, These other names are unfamiliar. Theodorus, and by this time, the Judahites had begun adopting Greek forenames as well. Okay, so it's hard to tell. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So continuing, paragraph 11. Hyrcanus sent also one of these ambassadors to Dolabella, who was then the prefect of Asia, and desired him to dismiss the Judeans from the military, from military services, and to preserve to them the customs of their forefathers and to permit them to live according to them. And when Dolabella had received Hyrcanus's letter without any further deliberation, he sent an epistle to all the Asiatics, and particularly to the city of the Ephesians, the metropolis of Asia, about the Judeans, a copy which epistle here follows. Now, this would be a more problematic request, okay? So, in other words, the Judahites don't want the Romans conscripting Judahites into their military. Let's see what happens. Over to you.
Okay, paragraph 12. When Artemon was Prytanis, whatever that is, on the first day of the month, Lenion, Dolabella, imperator to the Senate and magistrates and people of the Ephesians, sends greetings. Alexander, the son of Theodorus, the ambassador of Hyrcanus, the son of Alexander, the high priest and ethnarch of the Judeans, appeared before me to show that his countrymen could not go into their armies because they are not allowed to bear arms or to travel on these Sabbath days. That's correct.
Okay.
I don't go shopping. I stay right here in the apartment on Wednesdays because that's when the Sabbath is right now. Okay. Nor there to procure themselves those sorts of food which they have been used to eat from the time of their forefathers. In other words, no pork, catfish, shellfish. Okay. I do therefore grant them a freedom from going into the army as the former prefects have done.
Wow.
And permit them to use the customs of their forefathers in assembling together for sacred and religious purposes as their law requires, and for collecting offerings necessary for sacrifices. And my will is that you write this to the several cities under your jurisdiction.
So, as we said earlier, the Romans were very generous in allowing the native people to practice their religion and traditions. Okay. This is probably an unusual exception, however. Okay. But in order to keep the peace and make sure that the tribute money keeps flowing in.
That's the main thing.
The main thing. Right.
They had to keep these people happy so they would keep paying.
Yes.
Section 13 is all yours, brother.
Okay. And these were the concessions that Dolabella made to our nation when Hyrcanus sent an embassage to him. But Lucius, the consul's decree, ran thus. I have at my tribunal set these Judahites who are citizens of Rome and follow the Judean religious rites, and yet live at Ephesus free from going into the army on account of the superstition they are under.
I got to highlight that.
Yeah, those aren't friendly words. This was done before the 12th of the calends of October, when Lucius Lentulus and Caius Marcellus were consuls in the presence of Titus Appius Balgus, the son of Titus and lieutenant of the Horatian tribe, of Titus Tongius, the son of Titus, of the Crestuman tribe, of Quintus Resius, the son of Quintus, of Titus Pompeius Longinus, the son of Titus, of Caius Servilius, the son of Caius, of the Tarentine tribe, of Bracchus, the military tribune, of Publius Lucius Gallus, the son of Publius, of the Venturian tribe, of Caius Sentius, the son of Caius, of the Sabbatine tribe, of Titus Atilius Bulbus, the son of Titus, lieutenant and vice praetor to the magistrate, senate, and people of the Ephesians, sendeth greeting. Now we have to keep in mind that virtually all of these Romans are probably descendants of Zerahjuda. Mm-hmm. Okay, but they would have forgotten this long ago, okay, that they descended from Zerahjuda. So, in other words, and of course, in Romans 16:20, Paul predicted that the sons of Shem would overthrow the temple, okay, and hurt the heel, or the head rather, of the serpent, okay? But that was only the first wounding of the head. The last and final one is going to come really soon, okay? Mm-hmm. Lucius Lentulus, the consul, freed the Judeans that are in Asia from going into the armies at my intercession for them. And when I had made the same petition sometime afterward to Fannius, the imperator, and to Lucius Antoninus, or Antonius, the vice quester, I obtained the privilege of them also. And my will is that you take care that no one give them any disturbance. Okay? So, some of the religious rites of the Judahites, are being honored here, but they're still under tribute. Back to you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. They had everybody under tribute.
Yes.
I mean, they would pretty much let you do anything you want as long as that money kept flowing in.
That's right. That's right.
Sort of like the Southern Baptist Church.
You got it, bro.
This is section 14. Oh, I know. Spoken by a former Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
Section 14. The decree of the Delians, the answer of the praetors, when Beotus was archon, on the 20th day of the month, Thargelion, while Marcus Piso, the lieutenant, lived in our city, who was also appointed over the choice of the soldiers, he called us and many of the other citizens and gave order that if there be here any Judeans who are Roman citizens, no one is going to give them any disturbance about going into the army, because Cornelius Lentulus, the consul, freed the Judeans from going into the army on account of the superstition they are under. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are therefore obliged to submit to the praetor. And the like decree was made by the Sardians about us also.
Okay, now this all begs the question. What attitude now would the non-Judahites, non-Judeans in these armies and in these colonies have now towards the Judeans? They're getting special treatment, okay? So that means there's going to be strife between the Judahites and the others, okay? So you can see this coming, all right?
Right.
Okay, number 15. Caius Fannius, the son of Caius, imperator and consul to the magistrates of Cos, sendeth greeting. I would have you know that the ambassadors of the Judeans have been with me and desired they might have those decrees which the Senate had made about them, which decrees here subjoined. My will is that you have regard to and take care of these men according to the Senate's decree, that they may be safely conveyed home through your country. Okay? There's going to be trouble. Back to you.
Right. They need an escort.
They need an escort.
Which is what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
Section 16. The declaration of Lucius Lentulus, the consul. I have dismissed those Judeans who are Roman citizens and who appear to me to have their religious rites and to observe the laws of the Judeans at Ephesus, on account of the superstition they are under. Again, they say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This act was done before the 13th of the calends of October.
Okay. Paragraph 17. Lucius Antonius, the son of Marcus, vice questor and vice praetor, to the magistrates, senate, and people of the Sardinians, sendeth greeting. Those Judeans that are our fellow citizens of Rome came to me and demonstrated they had an assembly of their own according to the laws of their forefathers, and this from the beginning also a place of their own, wherein they determined their suits and controversies with one another. Upon their petition, therefore, to me, that these might be lawful for them, I give order that these, their privileges, be preserved, and they be permitted to do accordingly. Okay? Now, of course...
That was the Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Now, of course, the Jews mimic this today, right? But that was our tradition. We're not to be judged by other people's laws.
No.
Okay?
Absolutely not.
Over to you.
Section 18. The declaration of Marcus Publius, the son of Spurius, and of Marcus, the son of Marcus, and of Lucius, the son of Publius. We went to the proconsul and informed him of what Dositheus, the son of Cleopatridia, of Alexandria, desired that, if he thought good, he would dismiss those Judeans who were Roman citizens and were accustomed to observe the rites of the Judean religion on account of the superstition they were under. Again, I'm highlighting that. Accordingly, he did dismiss them. This was done before the 13th of the calends of October.
Mm-hmm.
Over to you.
Okay, well, remember Dan, who refused to abide by the, you know, cuisine and other rules of Babylon? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Esther, she refused to abide by the laws of those people. Okay. So our people.
Daniel, yes.
Right.
Correct.
So our people, our people have, we're expected by Yahweh to obey his laws, no matter where we are, okay? So this is going to cause strife if you're in Rome and you don't do as the Romans, okay?
Well, it causes strife in central Kentucky, too, when I go to a restaurant with Leroy and Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
We only eat certain things.
Right.
We don't touch...
pork.
If we go to Golden Corral, which is the buffet, we eat salad, but we don't put bacon bits on it.
Not right.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, we stay according to the food laws. We'll eat beef.
Mm-hmm.
We'll eat fish. You know, we'll eat vegetables.
Right.
You know, and
salmon.
Oh, why don't you get? Yeah. And then somebody will say to me, why don't you get some of that ham, boy? It's really good.
Pork chops are delish.
I'm an Israelite, and I cannot eat ham. I'm sorry. it is unclean to me.
Right.
And they'll look at me like I've got two heads.
That's right.
But, hey, look.
Mm-hmm.
Who comes first? Yahweh comes first.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Okay. All right, did you do section 18 or no?
I did section 18, and you do 19.
Okay, here we go. In the month Quintilius, when Lucius Lent...
Quintius. Quintius.
Yeah, well, here it's maybe spelled different. Quintilius. It's spelled Quintilius here.
It's Quintius. Quintius.
Okay. The different spelling. Okay. Yeah. And there were present Titus Appius Balbus, the son of Titus, the lieutenant of the Horatian tribe, Titus Tongius of the Crestamine tribe, Quintus Resius, the son of Quintius Titus Pompeius, the son of Titus, Cornelius Longinus, Caius Servilius Bracchus, the son of, I'm really getting good at pronouncing Roman names all of a sudden, a military tribune, and of the Tarentine tribe, Publius Clusius Gallus, the son of Publius the Veturian tribe, Caius, and there's a whole bunch of these. I'll just go to the next statement of fact here. In the presence of these, it was that Lentulus pronounced this decree. I have before the tribunal dismissed those Judeans that are Roman citizens and are accustomed to observe the sacred rites of the Judeans at Ephesus on account of the superstition they are under. Okay, so this exemption is becoming a, you know, I mean, headlines all over the place, okay? And, you know, a lot of these public officials are wondering, you know, why this exception? Who are these people? What's going on here? Okay. So this is like big news in the kingdom, in the empire. Number 20. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, that's my turn. There's no point reading all those boring names because they're all the same.
Right.
They're the same ones that were up above them, and they're all tongue twisters, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans anyway. Let's get to the meat of matter.
Yes, yeah, the history.
Section 20. The magistrates of the Laodiceans, the Church of Laodicea, remember?
Right.
To Caius Rubilius, the son of Caius the consul, send greetings. So Pater, the ambassador of Hyrcanus the high priest, has delivered us an epistle from you, whereby he lets us know that certain ambassadors were come from Hyrcanus, the high priest of the Judeans, and brought an epistle written concerning their nations. What these are in this area is interdepartmental communications, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. These are letters back and forth between the powers that be.
And you can see the raised eyebrows of all these officials.
Right. And you get a letter and the guy goes, oh, yeah? Wherein they desire that the Judeans may be allowed to observe their Sabbaths. Their Sabbaths. And other sacred rites according to the laws of their forefathers. And that they may be under no command because they are our friends and allies. In other words, they're paying us off. And that nobody may injure them in our provinces.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, although the Trallians there present contradicted them and were not pleased with these decrees, yet did you give order that they should be observed and informed us that you had been desired to write this to us about them. That wasn't sitting well with some people.
That's right.
We, therefore, in obedience to the injunctions we have received from you, have received the epistle which you sent us and have laid it up by itself among our public records. And as to the other things about what you did send to us, we will take care that no complaint be made against us.
Really? Okay. This is good. This decree is causing trouble in the empire.
Oh, we're seeing boat rocking going on.
That's
here.
Right. All right.
Okay.
Paragraph 21. Publius Servilius, the son of Publius of the Galban tribe, the proconsul to the magistrate, senate, and people of the Milesians, sendeth greeting. Prytanis, the son of Hermes and citizen of yours, came to me when I was at Tralles, and held a court there, and informed me that you used the Judeans in a way different from my opinion, and forbade them to celebrate their Sabbaths, and to perform the sacred rites received from their forefathers, and to manage the fruits of the earth according to their ancient custom, and that he had himself been the promulger of your decree, according to as your laws require. I would therefore have you know that upon hearing the pleadings on both sides, I have sentenced that the Judeans should not be prohibited to make use of their own customs. Again, there's rumbling in the empire, okay? Yeah. The Judeans are getting special treatment. Who are they that they should get special treatment? Over to you.
All right, section 22. Let me get a little sip of coffee here, brother.
Okay. Good stuff, eh?
Oh, that's needed.
All right.
The decree of those of Pergamos, and this is what the decree is. When Cratippus was prytanis on the first day of the month Desius, the decree of the praetors was this. Since the Romans, following the conduct of their ancestors, undertake dangers for the common safety of all mankind, and are ambitious to settle their allies and friends in happiness and in firm peace, and since the nations of the Judeans and their high priest Hyrcanus sent as ambassadors to them Strato, the son of Theodotus, and Apollonius, the son of Alexander, and Aeneas, the son of Antipater.
Oh, okay, there it is.
Who?
Eat of my Jew. Right.
There you go. And Aristobulus, the son of Amyntas, and Sosipater, the son of Philip, worthy and good men who gave a particular account of their affairs. The Senate thereupon made a decree about what they had desired of them, that Antiochus, the king, the son of Antiochus, should do no injury to the Judeans, the allies of the Romans, and that the fortresses and the havens and the country and whatever else he had taken from them should be restored to them, and that it may be lawful for them to export their goods out of their own havens.
Okay, and the ruffles. Feather ruffling.
He was ripping them off, and he didn't like that he had to give everything back.
Right, right.
What do you mean I got to give it back? I took it.
I took it. It's mine.
And that no king nor people may have leave to export any goods either out of the country of Judea or out of their havens without paying customs, but only Ptolemy, the king of Alexandria, because he is our ally and friend, and that according to their desire, the garrison that is in Joppa may be ejected. He's allowing them to have a military base there, so they don't want to tick him off.
Right.
All right. Now, Lucius Pettius, one of our senators, a worthy and good man, gave order that we should take care that these things should be done according to the Senate's decree, and that we should take care also that their ambassadors might return home in safety without getting a sword in the gut.
Right. Okay?
Accordingly, we admitted Theodorus into our Senate and Assembly and took the epistle out of his hands, as well as the decree of the Senate. And as he discoursed with great zeal about the Judeans and described Hyrcanus's virtue and generosity, and how he was a benefactor to all men in common, and particularly to everybody that comes to him, we laid up the epistle in our public records and made a decree ourselves that since we also are in confederacy with the Romans, we would do everything we could for the Judeans according to the Senate's decree. Theodorus also, who brought the epistle, desired of our praetors that they would send Hyrcanus a copy of that decree, as also ambassadors to signify to him the affection of our people to him, and to exhort them to preserve and augment their friendship for us, and be ready to bestow other benefits upon us.
Right.
Notice this, other benefits upon us.
Yeah. The trouble brewing. Yeah.
as justly expecting to receive proper requitals from us, and desiring them to remember that our ancestors were friendly to the Judeans, even in the days of Abraham, who was the father of all the Hebrews, as we have found it set down in our public record.
Okay, now who was pronouncing this? That they, the decree of those of Pergamos? Mm-hmm. Okay, the people of Pergamos therefore have good memory of the Hebrew history, which is very good. So these people would have been prone to be friendly to the Judahites, mm-hmm. and certainly, but certainly not to the Edomites. Okay.
No.
All right. Number 23. The decree of those Halicarnassus, when Memnon, the son of Aristides by descent, but by adoption of Euonymus, was priest on the day such and such day. Number is missing.
The date didn't survive.
Okay. Right. Of the month of Aristerion, the decree of the people upon the representation of Marcus Alexander was this: since we have ever a great regard to piety towards God and to holiness, and since we aim to follow the people of the Romans, who are the benefactors of all men, and what they have written to us about a league of friendship and mutual assistance between the Judeans and our city, and that their sacred offices and accustomed festivals and assemblies may be observed by them, we have decreed that as many men and women of the Judeans are willing to do, may celebrate their Sabbaths and perform their holy offices according to the Judean laws. In fact, we're still talking about Judahite laws or Mosaic laws.
Right.
And may make their prosequiae at the seaside according to the customs of their forefathers. And if anyone, whether he be a magistrate or a private person, hindereth them from so doing, he shall be liable to a fine to be applied to the uses of the city. If nothing else, all these decrees prove that the Judahites of Judea were causing a big stir in the Roman Empire, right?
Right.
All right, okay.
And that word that you stumbled over was prosukor.
Prosukor, okay.
Yes, places of prayer.
Places of prayer, okay.
Right. Section 24. My sinuses have caught up with me. Let me mute my mic for a second.
I have a footnote here about the Milesians here. So while you're taking a sneeze or whatever, we have here a most remarkable and authentic attestation of the citizens of Pergamos that Abraham was the father of all the Hebrews, that their own ancestors were in the oldest times the friends of those Hebrews, and that the public acts of their city then extant confirmed the same, which evidence is too strong to be evaded by our present ignorance of the particular occasion of such ancient friendship and alliance between those people. Okay, well, that's basically what I said. The people of Pergamos must have been friends to the Hebrews for a long, long time. Okay.
Well, they were all over the whole area, and they got along.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah. And so this footnote confirms it. Back to you.
There we go. Section 24. The decree of the Sardians. This decree was made by the Senate and people upon the representation of the praetors, whereas those Judeans who are fellow citizens and live with us in this city have ever had great benefits heaped upon them by the people and have come now into the Senate and desired of the people that upon the restitution of their law and their liberty by the Senate and people of Rome, they may assemble together according to their ancient legal custom, and that we will not bring any suit against them about it,
mm-hmm.
and that a place may be given them where they may have their congregations with their wives and children, and may offer as did their forefathers, their prayers and sacrifices to God.
Okay.
Now the Senate and people have decreed to permit them to assemble together on the days formerly appointed and to act according to their own laws, and that such a place be set apart for them by the praetors for the building and inhabiting the same as they shall esteem fit for that purpose, and that those who take care or those that take care of the provision for the city shall take care that such sorts of foods as they esteem fit for their eating may be imported into the city.
In other words, clean food in the prison.
Scripturally clean food.
Right. Okay, so here, if nothing else, this proves that the Israelites of the house of Judah were scattered all over the place here, okay? And apparently in some of these cities, they were able to hold their services according to the Mosaic law, and other places they probably weren't able to, okay? So here in Sardis, I think this is what were Sardians, the city of Sardis.
The Sardians, all
yes,
right.
That they have made suit that they be allowed to practice their traditions, their Mosaic traditions, without interference. Okay.
Well, the Edomites at this point were worming their way in and had not had full power yet. So they were still going according to the Mosaic traditions.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good thing you brought that up, because even in the days of Christ, the Pharisees, who are Edomite Jews, their influence outside of Jerusalem was minimal. Okay?
Yep.
It was minimal. All right?
They were very concentrated in that area.
Right.
And that was their area of main influence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they did not have influence with the congregations far, far and wide, primarily in Jerusalem and in
well,
Judea.
Well, we need to remember that in Rome, no Jew could be a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah, right.
Okay. These were Judahites. These were not Jews.
Mm-hmm.
These were pure-blood Israelites were allowing to keep the faith.
Right. And even Paul, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, was a Roman citizen.
That's correct.
They did not forbid him. Okay.
No, he was not a Jew.
Right. So this distinction is, here's where the confusion
This was before they called them Jews.
Right,
They were talking about the mixed blood Edomites, because they would go and take that Babylonian crap into Rome.
Right.
And the Romans didn't want any part or parcel of that either.
Yeah, except the ones who were being bribed.
Being a Roman citizen.
Right. And here's where the confusion.
Take that on back down where you're from. Get out of here.
Right. And here's where the confusion begins, is the Edomite Jew moneylenders that crept into all of these town councils and right beside the Roman Caesar himself. That they didn't care if these people were Edomite Jews or Judahites. They didn't give a damn, right? They just wanted to collect tribute. And here comes somebody along claiming to be of Judea. They didn't care whether he was an Edomite Jew or a Judahite,
Right.
They didn't make these distinctions. However,
they did the same thing then as they have done to the United States of America. They started small and worked their way up.
That's right.
How many Jew presidents have we had?
Many. Many.
What about the one we got now?
All right. Well, Trump, I don't know if Trump has any Jewish blood, but he certainly got a lot of Jewish baggage around him, that's for sure. All right. Paragraph 25. The decree of the Ephesians. It's interesting that these cities we're talking about are the very cities in the first three chapters of Book of Revelation. The decree of the Ephesians, when Menophilus was Pretanus, on the first day of the month of Artemisius, this decree was made by the people. Nicanor, the son of Euphemus, pronounced it upon the representation of the praetors. Since the Judeans that dwell in this city have petitioned Marcus Julius Pompeius, the son of Brutus, the proconsul, that they might be allowed to observe their Sabbaths, and to act in all things according to the customs of their forefathers, without impediment from anybody, the praetor had granted their petition. Accordingly, it was decreed by the Senate and the people that in this affair that concerned the Romans, no one of them should be hindered from keeping the Sabbath day, nor be fined for so doing, but that they may be allowed to do all things according to their own laws. Okay, so, I mean, the Roman government here was very tolerant towards the Judean or the Judahite practice of the Mosaic law, which is very nice.
They were very productive people, and they paid their taxes.
Right.
They didn't want to rock that boat.
Right.
They didn't want to rock that boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
they produced a lot of
wheat
and grain.
They were
food.
Very practical about who was who.
Yeah.
And they had certain sects that they kicked out.
Right.
Because of the rioting and the things. Like we've got Antifa.
Right. Yes. Know? Yes.
We've got all these and the Masons.
Mm-hmm.
And all the dirty deals that they do behind the scenes.
Yeah, and we read earlier how Herod became famous and ingratiated himself to Hyrcanus and to the Romans by making war against some highwaymen, okay, which was probably just a fake news, right? Fake news by hired actors, right? So he could become famous and look good for the public, right? Over to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Section 26. Now there are many such decrees of the Senate and imperators of the Romans, and those different from these before us, which have been made in favor of Hyrcanus and of our nation, as also there have been more decrees of the cities and rescripts of the praetors to such letters as concerned our rights and privileges, and certainly such as are not ill-disposed to what we write may believe that they are all to this purpose, and that by the specimens which we have inserted, for since we have produced evident marks that may still be seen of the friendship we have had with the Romans, and demonstrated that those marks are engraved upon columns and tables of brass in the Capitol that are still in being and preserved to this day, we have omitted to set them all down as needless and disagreeable. For I cannot suppose anyone so perverse as not to believe the friendship we have had with the Romans, while they have demonstrated the same by such a great number of their decrees relating to us, nor will they doubt our faithfulness as to the rest of those decrees, since we have shown the same in those as we have produced. And thus we have sufficiently explained that friendship and the confederacy we at those times had with the Romans.
Josephus is declaring his status as a Judahite. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So this is written to the Judahites for our benefit.
Later on in time, the perverted governmental body that was governing that area rebelled against Rome. This is later on down the road, under the Edomites, and negated all this great friendship that they had accumulated and just wrecked the whole shooting match, and the Romans came in and tore everything up and plowed the city.
Right, right. Well, now we have to remember that the Romans came in with Herod and laid siege against Jerusalem. So they weren't our friends in reality. Most of these decrees are simply, you know, statesmanlike announcements,
right,
that cover up that history. Okay.
This was a government that they had placed there. But
right.
Later on, they would rebel against this.
Mm-hmm.
Years down the road, and it would result in the final destruction of Jerusalem, which continues to this day. And what they call the Temple Mount is not.
Right. Yeah, and I think we could say with fair accuracy that all the trouble was caused by Edomite Jews misrepresenting themselves as citizens of Judah. You know, they could rightfully say they're citizens of Judea, but they don't represent the real people. They don't represent the tribe of Judah. But in our name, and just as we have today, we have Jews issuing decrees in our name for our countries, America, Britain, etc. It's exactly the same thing all over again, folks. All over again. Okay. I have another footnote here from this version where, what's his name again? William Whiston, the translator, states, if we compare Josephus's promise in section 4 to produce all the public decrees of the Romans in favor of the Judeans, with his excuse here for omitting many of them, we may observe that when he came to transcribe all those decrees he had collected, he found them so numerous that he thought he should too much tire his readers, which we already stated, if he had attempted it, which he thought a sufficient apology for his omitting the rest of them. Yeah, well, I mean, this is proof enough that all of these towns and provinces, made public statements to the effect, you know, we are friends of the Romans, and we really love it that they are permitting us to behave according to our Mosaic laws and rituals. Okay, so this is a bone that the Romans threw to the Judahites to keep them, producing, because I think the vast majority of their tribute came in the form of crops and other food. You know, the Judahites didn't have much gold or silver. You know, each family might have had a little bit of gold and silver, but their primary tribute was in the form of food. And so they were proud, just like as we Caucasian Israelites created the breadbasket of Europe, okay, and the breadbasket of America, as we always do. In those days, it was much easier to collect foodstuffs from the people than money, okay? So this is how this is how the peace was kept. You know, we collect the food from you, and our army and our politicians will allow you to practice your religion as you see fit, as long as it doesn't cause trouble with the other nations around you. Okay, that's a huge caveat.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay,
well,
so
we're just about down to the end here, brother.
Yeah. So, I'm just looking.
Chapter 10. Yeah, I'm looking at the time is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And just as a teaser, let me read the heading of chapter 11, how Mercus succeeded Sextus when he had been slain by Bassus' treachery, and how after the death of Caesar, Cassius came into Syria and distressed Judea. Okay, as you were saying, all the promises Rome made with all these decrees were soon to be given up, and treachery ensued. As also how Malichus slew Antipater and was himself slain by Herod. Okay, so we'll find out who this. Yeah.
It's like that little game Whack-A-Mole. They were whacking a Roman, killing each other left and right.
Or that, was that series that I never watched, Dallas? Where
they just
whacking each other and marrying each other's
who
widows.
Who shot JR?
Right?
I remember all that. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, this history, although this chapter that we just covered was primarily a bunch of decrees, It demonstrates, number one, the historicity of the Bible, the historicity of the entire Apocrypha that pertain to these times, especially the books of the Maccabees, right? That all this stuff is accurate. You know, I mean, Josephus is doing his best to do an honest job as a historian. Okay? Yep. This is probably the first voluminous history book ever written. And we could probably say that Josephus is the father of history, not Herodotus, right?
I think he got writer's cramp on this
one. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, this is tedious stuff, but nevertheless, it shows how the Roman Empire interfaced with the people of Judea, okay? It's very important to understand how this works. So, with good intentions, Caius Caesar issued this decree, which caused a lot of ruffling of feathers inside the empire, and because there were probably so many praetors unhappy with this, it soon fell apart, especially upon his death. Okay, so whenever a Caesar dies, you can anticipate a change in objectives of the government. Okay? Because it's not a democracy, it's not a republic, it is what? A dictatorship. Okay?
That's right.
So the new dictator may not like the policies of the old dictator. This is why Titus, upon the death of Caesar while Jerusalem was under siege, he discontinued the siege and went back to Rome to inquire of the new emperor, what do you want me to continue besieging Jerusalem or not? And it took a whole year. And that was a very important event because that allowed the Judahites, who understood that Messiah had come, it allowed them to leave, to skedaddle. Get out of there, get out of harm's way, and let Yahweh's curse of Jerusalem ensue. Okay?
Yep.
These decrees are very important.
This has been a smoother show. I like taking a section, mm-hmm. and then having you take a section, and then I
works.
Go back and take a section. That works really good.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
That way you get to put your take in, and I get to put my take in, and it all comes together. This is one of the smoother shows. This is good.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep this format in place. And so in chapter 11, we get back to the story of Herod and how the Edomites took over the kingdom of Judah. Okay, that's, clan feeding, yeah. Food for a standing army, right? An army travels on its stomach, and the Roman army required lots of food, which was the tribute that most of the Israelites were paying, okay? So the Romans didn't want to disrupt that, okay? You don't bite the hand that feeds you, all right? So Caius Caesar, his decree was a very practical one based on that consideration, all right? He knew where the food was coming from, and so he treated the Judahites respectfully.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So this is to be
anticipated. That's the exact opposite of what's going on in South Africa. The food came from the Boers. They mm-hmm. fed the whole continent. They're getting rid of the Boers. They're killing the white people, and they're going to starve. And I say let them.
Yep, let them starve.
Let them starve.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
I mean,
all the Boers pull out, let all the Freemasons and the rest of them stay there, and they have to remember that they're white too, and I listened to that thing the other night where they want to kill all the whiteies and their dogs and their cats and their horses and their cows and their pets and their children. That guy ranted.
Uh-huh. You know? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kill everybody.
Yeah, and they didn't learn from Zimbabwe, which did the same thing.
Nope.
And they became poor and starved. They don't care.
There you go. Next time, folks. See you later.
Yahweh bless.